Got to do something because the light's hitting my glasses just right and it's causing all kinds of weird stuff going on. So we'll try this, see what this looks like. It could be that it's, oh man, yeah, they're nasty dirty. That could be part of the problem. My wife, hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Well, in case you don't know who I am, I'm Robert Prince, by the way. I don't think there's anybody probably that hasn't been here, but that doesn't mean I've said my name. So, well, tonight is, I'll just admit it. Can you tell I'm low energy tonight? I'm a little wore out. Okay. Well, I told on myself for no reason then. Dang it. Well, let's pray. Father, we just come to you tonight, and we just give tonight to you. Whatever it looks like, whatever you want to say, whatever you want us to hear, God, we just give it to you. We submit it to you, Father. We just ask you to be in our midst right now, Lord. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to take from this what you want us to take, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we are wrapping up the Behold series. I think I said that last week. And so this will be the last night of the Behold series. I started this unknowingly on New Year's Eve and then started teaching it on Wednesday nights, late January, mid to late January. And so it's been, it's been 5.5 months on my mind or 5 months on my mind every week just about. And even if I'm not studying for a message, I decided after that New Year's Eve message, if you've probably heard some of this. In fact, I'm going to repeat some stuff tonight you've probably heard, but maybe you won't remember, so maybe you need to hear it again. I don't know. So I decided, Behold, after that New Year's Eve sermon, that Behold was my word of the year, and I was going to sit with it all year and just let the Lord reveal things to me. And man, has he revealed a ton of things already. In fact, I kind of feel like I've done a year's worth of study in the last 5 months. But I know he has much more to give me. Because just in case you don't know, these are going to be up here for you to look at after church. These are all the books, not all the resources, but all the books that has fed me the last 5 months. And so you're going to see bookmarks in them. Oh, by the way, please don't look at my bookmark because they're in there for a reason and they're in the right place. So I've got a lot more reading to do the rest of this year because there's the bookmarks in the front and barely halfway through some of them. And so a lot of them have Behold in the title. A couple of them are books that people gave me that are really just speaking about beholding God in new ways and in reverence and in awe. And so it's things that really has fed this series and will continue to feed me the rest of this year. So I also have a resource list for you at the end of the night. They say never turn your back on an audience. I'm sorry. So the front page is all of those books that you're going to see right up here. And the next two pages are other books I recommend. So if you're not a book reader, I don't have many resources for you. But you can buy audiobooks, I guess. A lot of these authors also have podcasts. So that might be another way for you. So Rebecca counted 60-ish books, I think, on this list. Oh, that's not even counting those. So take that if you're a book lover. I can hook you up with Becky here. She can get you all the books you need probably. So so I just wanted to call our attention back to a few things. I haven't talked to them about them in a while. As I just try to wrap up what we've talked about and what we've studied and what the spiritual practices are revealing to us that I introduced. And so Behold, if you remember, the definition for behold is to gaze upon or observe, especially a remarkable act or a remarkable or impressive one, person. God uses it in the Bible a lot. When he does, he basically uses it as a way to get our attention, right? So look, pay careful attention, open your eyes, see. Those are the ways in which he uses the word behold many times in the Bible. And many versions have 800 to 1,000 different beholds in it. I think the most is almost 1,500 times it's used in one version. And so, and there's little nuances to that word when it's like, hey, look at this, be sure and see it, versus, hey, pay attention, stand at attention, look what I'm getting ready to do, or this declaration of open your eyes, do not miss this. And so there's different nuances to all of those ways he uses it. And so through all of these things, there's three verses that have just been stuck in my memory the whole series. And there's thousands, right? There's 1,500. And the ESV, which is what I've been studying out of mostly, I think is 890-ish or something like that, 892 if I remember correctly. And so through all of these things, God is just pleading with us to be alive and alert to his presence or to the things he's doing, the things he's taking us through, the land he's calling us to. As a believer, and I'm not saying you and I necessarily, that the Israelites or whoever he's leading out of bondage, whatever it may be. And so Revelation 3:20, in Revelation 2 and 3, he's talking to the seven churches, and says, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? Open your eyes, open your ears. I stand at the door and knock. He's wanting in. He's trying to get into our hearts, right? And John 1:29, which is kind of what started this whole thing back on New Year's Eve, behold the Lamb of God, right? It's in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29. And so this is John the Baptist speaking, different than the person who wrote John. And he's telling about the coming Christ. And so before John 1:29, just as a reminder, he's testifying about the coming of Jesus. And the Pharisees are asking him if he is the Messiah, the prophet that they've been expecting. And of course, he tells them no. He says, in fact, I'm not even worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. And then some things happen, comes back the next day. All of the same people are probably still in attendance, or many of the same people again. And he says, he sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I believe he said it with much more energy and passion than that. Behold, the Lamb of God, I see him. That's the person you were asking me about yesterday. Do you not see who this is? And so he's saying, look in awe and wonder. You were just asking me about this person. How can you not recognize him? How can you not see him? And then, of course, we know how much they don't recognize him as the story continues, right? But he's saying, look in awe and wonder. This is the one you were talking about. And so, behold is really a call to abandon the distractions that tie us up. It's a call to let go of the things that eat up our time and our energy that mean nothing in this world compared to the afterlife, compared to Jesus. And so behold is really that call to abandon and really to pay attention to God and what he's doing in us, what he wants to do through us, and even those around us. And so we have so many distractions. We've talked about it many times, and so I'm not going to rehash it a whole lot, but we have so many distractions in our world, and God's not happy about how involved in them we are. Not saying they're all bad, but many of them draw us away from God. I remember as a little league baseball player, even as an umpire, I was head umpire for about 7 years, for a little league, after I played in the little league, small town Luther, Oklahoma, just outside of Oklahoma City, by the way. And we never had games on Wednesday evenings. We never had games on Sundays. you go to Little League now and you'll find tournaments, they'll start at 6 a.m. in the morning sometimes on a Sunday. It's just crazy. Some of that's the culture. Some of it's the, I won't say the business of tournaments and Little League sports. But, yeah, I won't get on that soapbox. I have opinion, if you can't tell, but we won't go there. As we behold Jesus, we naturally start throwing things off that are hindering us. Because as we're beholding Jesus, he's deepening our relationship with him. He is helping us to grow closer to him. He is building in us a hunger for more of him. If we behold him, we can't just read about him every once in a while. We can't just come to church every once in a while and those things grow. Now, hopefully that's the case. But when we're beholding Jesus, we're actively pursuing him and tuning into him, casting our eyes upon him. And so when we do that, we're going to start throwing off the things that hinder our walk with God. And so in Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Some versions say, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Two different things. Just because something is hindering us doesn't mean it's a sin. It likely can be, and it is a, it, there is, sin is going to hinder us, get that right. But there are things that also hinder us that won't be a sin. And so, then there comes a choice. Are we going to let that hindrance, it's not a sin, but are we going to let that hindrance keep us from beholding the Lord? Keep us from growing in relationship with the Lord? And so, those are some of the things we need to think about as we end this series, as we continue to walk throughout our years, as we seek to continue to build our relationship with God. What is hindering us? We ask ourselves, is it sin? By the way, I am going to be asking some questions. I told you all that last week to bring your journal, and if you don't, then Mike graciously went and got me a bunch of notebook paper that you can use when we get to that point, if you need it. So, those things that are hindering us, we have to ask ourselves, are these hindrances that I'm investing in, whatever they might be, if they're not sin? This is what I'm talking about. If they're not sin, we know the answer if they're sin, right? But it's the things that are hindering us that are not sin that we have issues with. That's what gets us off track. Because they're not bad things. They're not sinful things. But it doesn't mean they're not taking us away from Jesus. Now, sometimes we have commitments that we, right? Our kids have commitments. Sometimes our kids have ball games on Wednesdays. I'm not saying your pursuit of Christ is dependent on you being at church every Wednesday night. I'm not saying that, so don't hear me saying that. Or every Sunday, as far as that goes. But the things that are hindering us, we have to get to the point where we're asking, what is hindering us? And for that, we've talked about a lot of spiritual disciplines, silence and solitude and reflection and the daily examen, all of these things that help us determine the things that are affecting our walk with Christ, the things that are affecting our emotional health, our behavioral, our physical health. And so when we look at these things and we think upon these things and we let the Lord reflect to us some of these hindrances, then we must ask ourselves, what is this hindrance costing me? What's it costing me in my family relationships? What's it costing me in my friendships? What's it costing me in my relationship with God? And the answer to some of those questions may be nothing. It may have nothing to do with family, or it may have nothing to do with friends. Or it may be focused on family or friends. Maybe that's a hindrance sometimes, right? It can be. I can't answer this question for you because what may be a hindrance for me may not be a hindrance for you. We all have those things we're going to have to ask ourselves, what is the hindrance that I'm dealing with? Now, if it's a sin, it's totally different. That changes the game. We know we have to deal with it immediately because the Lord has revealed that to us as a sin. Another version of Hebrews 1 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down especially the sin, but he's also not saying only the sin. Other versions say, let us throw off every encumbrance. Another one says, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle. And so you see the theme here. There are things that impact our walk with God. And how are those things playing out in my life? What is God bringing to the forefront, to the top, right? What is it settling on top that he wants me to pay attention to? He probably is not going to bring every hindrance to you at one time. I was at a speaker conference this last week. And one of the speakers, and when I say that, it's a training event. And one of the speakers had a walk. She has authority in the subject she was speaking on. She is a great connector of people, great networker of people. And she was speaking powerfully about what she knew and the things that she walked in authority in. And she spoke with authority, but she had a walk and a stance that distracted people from hearing the message. And so, of course, Summer, the speaker coach, and a couple of the other coaches were walking her through changing some of those things and trying to get her to understand why that was. Well, that stance and that walk was built from the previous 20 years of her career, teaching her to walk and to stand that way. But she was losing authority when she was doing it. We were disconnecting. We didn't believe her anymore that she was the authority in this matter, even though her message was great. And so that might be one of the things that we're dealing with. What are some of the hindrances that are keeping our witness from being as powerful or from keeping us from walking in the authority that God has given us with people in our family or in our friends group or in our colleagues at work? Are there things that are holding us back? God-given authority, and it's taking, the hindrances are taking that authority away from us. You can call it clout if you want to. And I'm not saying it's clout for our sake, for our business growth or anything like that. But when God has a message for us, what are those hindrances, not for us, but for others through us, what are those hindrances that take away? And again, there may be none. Your answer may be there may not be any. This is something you need to deal with the Lord on. Right? Not me. My hindrances are definitely different than yours. And so, beholding, though, is much more than just seeing. It's about stopping and looking and listening. And that's why we've gone through a lot of the spiritual practice guides that help us take time and build time in. Was it last week? Was crafting our rule of life, right? That's about taking some of the things we've studied and being intentional about forming a plan for who we want to be. And ultimately, how we're going to get there. A rule of life is like, I believe these things are important, and this is going to help me get to the point I want to be, to the point that God's calling me to. And so, stopping and looking and listening is really about what beholding is about. It's about not missing what he's calling us to. It's about not missing the things he's placed in our life. And so, behold is also about being captivated at different times, right? So some of those times, it's about just stopping, looking, and listening and paying attention. Some of the times, it's about being captivated by God and his enormous and gracious blessings in our life. It's about standing in amazement about the things he's doing. It's standing in awe and adoring him verbally, emotionally, in song, in dance, whatever it may be. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down and run with endurance or perseverance the race that God has set before us. So those hindrances may just be slight corrections, may just be slight adjustments, may just be something we have to get rid of. They're things that does not benefit the race that God has us in. And that is, like I've said, that's one reason I've tried to introduce this to so many spiritual practices. I think Rebecca counted up, and there's 8 different guides that we've given you. There's a ton more spiritual practices out there. In fact, on the book list, some of those extra books, some of these are spiritual practice guides, but some of the other books are books about spiritual practices. There's a ton of them. You can, in fact, there's a ton of them at the Irving Library. So if you live in Irving, go get you a library card if you don't have one. You don't even have to buy the books. Sorry, bookseller. Okay. Beholding is really an invitation from God, right? It's an invitation to be with Christ. It's an invitation to quiet our overworked minds, our overachieving minds and bodies, egos. Invitation to rest. An invitation to be still and not produce. An invitation to be with God and to hear from God. And of course, we're learning new ways to be with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, and we're learning to connect with God differently because of some of these spiritual practices, because I've had some conversations with you where you've told me that. But we're also learning how to recognize God in new ways, in ways that he's been working in us, but we've just never been tuned to. And so all of these things are crucial in growing our love for God, because loving God is our ultimate command. It says in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It's the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot grow in beholding God without the transforming of our mind, though. Loving God means we're seeking transformation. We're not just seeking information. You can read all the information in these books, and it's not going to do one bit of transformation if you don't submit it to God to change you. If you're not submitted to God to change you. Information does not equal transformation. That's revelation, revelatory? Anyway, that spoke to me the first time I ever heard that. Because I'm the king of information. I want to know it. I want to read it. Even though I can only put maybe 5 or 10 ideas, if they're simple, out of this book into practice over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and that's if I'm really good, there is about 1,000 more in there that I won't be able to implement. Right? And so it's not always about information. In fact, I think one day I said, had a pastor a long time ago at the Victory Leadership Institute that I went to. He said, man, I read a book. If I get 2 or 3 nuggets out of it that I can implement, then I can put it down. Well, guess what? That's about 15 pages in. I put a bookmark in it, and I haven't picked it up in about 6 weeks. Because I got the nuggets out of it that I needed. Now, this is a great book. This is one of, it says, behold, why would I not go back to that the rest of this year, right? An invitation to wonder. Man, who doesn't want more wonder in their life, right? Wow, I need to make sure I stay on track. So, talking about the transforming of our mind, right? And so Romans 12:12 talks to us about that. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Another version says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed. So transformed speaks to a one-time event. We're going to be transformed. And it's done. The Amplified Version says, and progressively changed. The law of 72 I introduced to you at some point. That may have been last year. I don't even remember if it was part of this or not. I remember y'all were sitting over here because y'all checked my math. It was like 1% of a day is like 15%. Growing better 1%. Getting 1% closer to Christ. And I'm using these numbers. I know they're weird to think about in that aspect. Not only should I seek transformation, that can be a one-time event, and sometimes is a one-time event, but continual transformation and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, which is, it tells us in this version, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. His plan and purpose for you is not his plan and purpose for me. That's a totally different thing. We won't go there. We cannot behold God when we're running at the speed of culture, though. When we're running at the speed of our friends, when we're running at the speed of our colleagues, of our neighbors, we just cannot behold God when we're doing that. When we're copying the behaviors and customs of the world. It says right there in Romans 12:2, really, right? When we're doing that, we're not going to behold God. So we need a new way, friends. We need a new way. And so what if we imagined a new way of living? And that's been part of what this Behold series has been about. Francis Chan is a biblical teacher and an author and pastor. He says, he asks the question, what would be different in my world if I was stranded on an island and the only book I ever had that I could read is the Bible? What would be different in my life? That's a powerful question to think about. If the only thing to influence me is not all these books, but is the Bible, is the Word of God. I love books. I'm not saying quit buying books, quit reading books. But it is a powerful question to think about, because it's about what's the things that we're letting in. What are the things that we're letting in that are hindering us? That's part of what it comes back to. So what if we imagined a new way of living? What if we chose not to live at full capacity, emotionally or physically even? We're running nonstop. What if we chose a different way to not live at full capacity? Not live in fifth gear all the time. Or overdrive, whatever you want to call it. I wonder if it would allow more time to live more full spiritually instead. We're so packed emotionally and physically that we don't have time to live fully spiritually, I believe. And so this is what the Behold series has been about. And so I know we've covered a lot of ground over the series. We've talked about 8 different spiritual practices, from silence and solitude, which is very basic and simple, to, I didn't say easy, I said simple, to Lectio Divina, which is deep dive into some verses to let God really speak to us through those things, to let the Holy Spirit speak to us through those things. The daily examen with Sabbath and lament. Who wants to go dive into grief, right? That's not something we want to do. It is something we need to do. Maybe not all the time, but there are issues we need to grieve over and let God work out in our lives. So as I promised last week, it's time for me to ask you a few questions. So if you have your journal, please get it out. We're going to take a moment. They're going to start some music, and then I'm just going to walk you through a few questions. And if you need some paper, it's right here. I'll put some on both sides. And maybe some of you aren't writers. Maybe some of you don't want to write. Maybe these are just questions you want to sit and ponder. I'm going to ask a question. We're going to keep asking some questions, but we're going to allow some silence and some space. Because I know if I ask you these questions and send you home with a sheet of paper, you're not going to ask yourself these questions. So I'm going to have you do it right now. And so the first thing I would ask you is this. You can think about it. You can write it. You can talk to somebody. Anybody? Julio's helping, and he's helping. Anybody else? Oh, one back there in the corner. Could you take him one? Could you? Yeah, thank you, sir. I just enlisted your help. So this is the first question I want to ask you. And these are not questions that I want to know the answer to. I'm not asking for myself. And I'm not asking you to answer it out loud. What is the one thing, if there were only one thing that you are taking away from this series? Many of you have been here almost every night of this series, 15, 16 nights, whatever it is. Some of you have been here, this may be your first night. Some of you have been here several nights. But if there's one thing that you are taking away from this series to help you deepen your relationship with God that you are carrying into the future, what is it? In other words, what's the one thing you're going to implement from this series? If there could only be one thing, what is it? Some of you may think of multiple things, and that's okay. That's great. But if there's only one thing, what's the most important? If you think of multiples, what's the most important thing you're going to implement? Because sometimes we get so focused on the five things I want to do that we don't do any of them, instead of focusing on the one thing that God's revealed to be most important. And many of you have been here multiple weeks. So if I haven't run you off, then I know you think this is doing something with your walk with God. So what is it that's going to deepen your walk with God? And these might be some additional questions that you're asking or that you can answer. Is there a spiritual practice you want to try that you just haven't pulled the guide out of? And you know what? If there's a spiritual practice and you didn't get the guide, we probably have it in the back. We can look after service, or we can email it to you, or we can print it for you and bring it to you Sunday or Wednesday. And it's on the website. If you go under that sermon, that's right. She attached them to the sermon on the website, so you can download them for yourself. Thank you. That's my lovely wife, Rebecca. So is there a spiritual practice that you want to try? Spend a month with it. I know sometimes I introduced it and then we give another one the next week. I went through all of these spiritual practices. We went through them for a month in the sacred spaces area that Cecilia had us in. Another question you might want to answer is, what is at least one way God has worked in you differently the last few months? Change is progressive. Transformation can be progressive. So the way I ask it is, what is at least one way God has worked in you differently the last few months? Has he awoken something inside of you? Has he helped you notice something that you haven't noticed before? Have you noticed some things you need to grieve? Have you noticed some things that you just need to lay at the Lord's feet? That's what I mean by how has he worked in you differently? Here's the thing. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Right? He will do a new thing. That new thing might be the way he's working inside of you the last few months. Give just another minute or two on those questions, because the next two questions are a little different. Another question. If you've been here any length of time on Wednesday nights when I've been teaching, you've probably heard something that you're not quite sure sounds right. Or you just wonder, is that true? Can that be true? Maybe it's something you don't necessarily believe. Or you're not sure whether you should believe? Is there something you're just not quite sure about? I want you to think about that. And if you recognize something, write it down. Or send a text to yourself or send an email to yourself. And here's why. If you believe 100% of everything I've said the 15 or 16 weeks we've been up here, you're probably not thinking critically. And so maybe that's something you need to think through. How do I think more critically? How do I gauge what I'm hearing? Am I accepting what I'm hearing at face value as gospel truth when it's coming from a fallen man? So is it that, or is there something that you're like, that didn't quite set well. I probably need to do a little bit more investigation. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's God pricking your heart to say, let's do a little more study together. Now, Sunday morning's different. You can believe 100% of everything you hear on Sunday morning, just not Wednesday night. That's a joke, by the way. I'm going to ask you one more question, and the guys are going to leave the music playing. I'm going to leave it up to you to pray, to end the service, whenever you feel led to pray and end the service, or when you get home. I'm going to ask you this question, and we're going to remain in silence until you're ready to leave. It's 3 or 4 till 8 o'clock, so we've got a few minutes. I'm going to ask you, when you're done, though, if you'll just remain in a contemplative attitude. Come up here and look at the books if you want to. Come up and grab a book list. But then if you want to do some talking, if you'll take it out into the foyer or in the hallways. Let people who are sitting continue to contemplate and reflect if they want to do that. Please. So this is the last question, and it's really kind of a multi-part, but aren't all my questions. What's one behavior of your own or custom, maybe even a behavior or custom of the world that you've fallen into, that God has asked you to work on the last few months, or God is asking you to work on right now? Like, he's revealed to you, okay, this is not a sin, but it's something that doesn't serve you well in your relationship with me. So what is one of those things that God has asked you to work on the last few months or is asking you to now? Have you been slow to respond or too busy to remember when he prods your heart, you forget until a week later and he's like, hey, remember that thing I was talking to you about? Yeah, it's not a sin yet. It's a hindrance, but if you keep ignoring me, it might become a sin. It's just something that might be automatic. It's ingrained in you so deeply that it comes naturally. And it's going to take some work to get out of. So what's one behavior or custom of the world or something you're doing that God has asked you to work on the last few months? And that's where we're going to end the night. So just think about that. Write your answers. Reflect on it. And I want to thank you for being here. God bless.